Yes, go ahead. Stephen Savis is the Director of Health Policy in the Heart Sloan Foundation of Canada.
Thank you, and I was going to say, while we're setting up here, please feel free to take a stretch.
Yeah. Maybe you can, we can all stand.
Yeah. It's been a long afternoon.
Reach for the cookies on the top shelf.
Yeah.
Or just my glass of water.
Just throw it in there.
Yep, exactly.
Perfect.
Okay. See, it was dangerous to open the door.
I didn't say that. I said that.
Thank you very much.
This comment from the BND was by
yes,
I know, that's why I might be able to talk to you. It's just come up. It's a project from all my
I don't know.
Isn't there a song about that?
We love the dogs.
Oh my gosh.
The spirit of
that's what I used to do.
We can close the door. It's the same. It's the summarize. It's the one. You're all bettering on the pace.
Thanks for the last presentation. If you would be so kind to take your seat.
Well, thank you, and I won't keep us too much longer because I know this is the last presentation. It's been a day of really terrific presentations, and
thank you. Thank
really
you.
Appreciate the opportunity to be here as well today. I'm going to ground much of what I'm saying. I'm going to pick up from the point of community participation and engaging people in trying to create change and ground this within the context of cardiovascular disease, which is what I work in, which is still, although declining, the leading cause of death in Canada and now increasingly becoming one of the leading causes of death worldwide. So it has a significant economic and social toll in Canada. The risk factors for cardiovascular disease are well known, and they are unhealthy. Some of the key ones are unhealthy eating, physical activity, overweight and obesity, smoking, diabetes, hypertension, stress, and depression. And you can see, though, from those percentages that Canada is not doing that well on some of these risk factors. And I want to focus mostly today on the physical inactivity risk factor. And it's estimated that about $22 billion a year in Canada in direct and indirect costs. So we know that for health benefit, adults should accumulate at least 30 minutes of physical activity most days of the week. But we know also that only about 50% of Canadians are meeting this standard. And if we do want to try to reduce obesity, which is about 30% of Canadians, and about 60% of Canadians are both overweight and obese, then we have to accumulate at least 45 to 60 minutes of physical activity most days of the week. And this gives you a sense of the physical inactivity, really, levels in Canada. So about, as I said, about half of Canadians. And you can see over here on the active, only a quarter of Canadians really are active enough for health benefit. And physical activity and exercise aren't the same, with exercise being up here and physical activity being down below. And physical activity goes to the heart of the kinds of things that many of you have spoken about this throughout the day, but particularly picking up on the presentations by Liz and Larry, where really the design of communities from the New Urbanist School and the more recent emphasis on mixed use and smart growth principles, really that's how we are going to get this level of physical activity. It's through that leisure and unstructured time. Larry mentioned that in Vancouver and Victoria, 50% of people who live within walking distance of a grocery store are getting that level of physical activity, and that's precisely why. I mean, they're able to do things on foot or bicycle during their leisure time. And in terms of cardiovascular disease, physical activity is really important. This is data taken from the Nurses Health Study out of Harvard, which is over 120,000 American women. And this study looked at the risk for coronary heart disease in women in that study, and it really showed that there's a 50, you can get a 50% reduction in the risk of a heart disease through walking merely 1 to 1.5 hours a week. Makes an incredible reduction in the risk of coronary heart disease. And what's interesting is the graphs on the right show that it's not the intensity of the walking that made the difference. It's merely the act of walking, merely the act of being active can significantly reduce your risk of heart disease. So this lovely scene from the Montmartre district in Paris is conducive to that kind of physical activity. So, and it's one of the things that we were intrigued by was a study that was done by Ray Tumalty here in Montreal for the Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation that Abby referred to earlier. And they did an analysis of the smart growth plans in 6 metropolitan regions within Canada and then looked at, well, what's happening in relation to those plans. Because on a certain level, the planners in most of our major centers are converted to the idea and the ideals of smart growth. They all have plans. Every one of these regions has a smart growth, urban containment, densification plan. But what we saw through the analysis that was done by the CMHC was that the suburban densities are falling far short of the that needed to support transit, and transit also is a significant contributor to active transportation and physical activity. That mixed-use development, there's very little mixed-use development continuing to occur outside in greenfield areas, in those areas that are still being, you know, devoured. Those agricultural lands and greenfield areas that are being devoured by urban sprawl are still largely being devoured by sprawl. And that developers seem to have a sense, or at least say, that the public doesn't want to live in those kinds of communities, which I think we would see given the increasingly high price of downtowns, the reemergence of people moving into cores, people who want to live in these new kind of new urbanist environments. Really, I think that supply hasn't caught up to demand here yet. And this was what they found: the single detached house, for example, in this study, as a percentage of all housing types between 91 and 2001. The only place that you saw an appreciable a reduction in that was in Vancouver, which has had a tremendous intensification program downtown. But in other areas like Halifax and Montreal, you actually saw the opposite direction to what you would have wanted to have seen over that time. So they concluded that while major progress has been made in the terms of the language and policy goals in terms of creating smarter, more health-promoting communities, the performance on the ground has been lagging. And when I presented that to a meeting of the Canadian Institute of Planners a year or so ago, they said to us, this is a reality that they experience all the time. And they mentioned that one of the things that they felt the Heart and Stroke Foundation could do as an organization interested in this issue and trying to encourage change was be to try to go directly to the public, which is who we tend to target most of our messaging at anyway, except when we're doing advocacy to policymakers, and try to educate, as they said, try to educate the public about this, try to combat NIMBYism, and try to turn around the resistance. Because even when we see developers coming forward with many, many interesting urban infill plans, the public are often against them, and intensification. And this is what we're dealing with in Canada. So about 12% of Canadian home-based trips, those leisure time activities that you need to get that physical activity time, are made by foot or bicycle in Canada, which is a little bit better than the rate in the U.S., but way below what you'd see in a place like the Netherlands or Denmark. And Larry spoke about what the situation in Vancouver and Victoria. The Waterloo region in Ontario, which is just west of Toronto, and it's about 500,000 people in the metropolitan area, and Larry's been working very closely with them. And we've actually funded some research that Larry's leading in the Waterloo region, picking up on some of this work they've been doing. But they wanted to map their region out. So this is 500,000 urban Canadians in a city in Ontario, just outside of Toronto. And it showed that 94% of that population lives within walking distance of a bus route, which could connect them to a supermarket. That 71% of them don't live within reasonable walking distance of a supermarket. And literally, almost half of them can't walk to the store to buy a loaf of bread or a liter of milk even if they wanted to. So that's 500,000 people in an urban population who can't walk within reasonable walking distance to a store. Really gives you a sense that we need to start doing things differently in North America. This is a photo that I took. People were talking about bicycles earlier this morning, and this is a photo I took in Ghent in Belgium, and this is an incredible intermodal transportation node that you would be highly challenged to find in Canada. So we've been doing a couple of things that are, in terms of taking a whole of society approach, one of the things that we're really intrigued by is an initiative that we are leading at Heart and Stroke in partnership with the Urban Public Health Network, which is the medical officers of health of the 18 largest cities in the country, the Canadian Institute of Planners, and I should have said the National Collaborating Center for Healthy Public Policy, which is part of the Public Health Agency of Canada. Lise Govan in Montreal and Larry Frank are a couple of academics attached to that project, as is Jan Kasten, who's here in the back. And it has basically three nodes in it: Montreal, Toronto, both the city itself and one of its horrible sprawling suburbs in Peel, and then three health regions in British Columbia. And then what this project is really trying to do is engage the health planners, the public, ultimately the private sector through a variety of means, the FCM by trying to get to a number of the conferences within the FCM to disseminate information, as well as information that we're going to be getting out to the public and through the web and other ways, is to begin to establish quantitative tools that will allow us to start to quantify the health impacts of various kinds of development, provide scores to those things, and allow people in health regions to start to comment on the health impacts of various kinds of design, and to provide, start to further educate planners about this sort of relationship between the health and the built environment. And then to synthesize and disseminate results of over $5 million in funding that we've initiated through the foundation, through this project, in terms of getting that out to the planners, to health officials, to the private sector, and to the public. So really we see this $2 million project over the next 2.5 years as a catalyst to try to not only create real tangible tools and evidence, but to try to get that out to the people who collectively can make a difference. And then one of the things that we're trying to do, and picking up from that Canadian Institute of Planners discussion, is to try to educate the public. So we're developing a toolkit now at the Heart and Stroke Foundation called Shaping Healthy Active Communities, which is going to be our way to try to get to the public through a variety of ways, including workshops, to start to educate the public about this issue, to further educate them about the importance of creating communities that are health promoting. And we'll do that in partnership with a number of groups that are already active and build on the work of groups that are already active in provinces across the country. So we want to provide the public with tools and educate them. We want to try to create more champions for the kind of growth and planning and development and design that we need in this country to promote health, to engage community members, others who are active in this cause, and then to be an information and active resource for the public. And the primary audience here is the public, with planners and developers and others as a secondary. And so we're going to be starting to roll this out over the course of the year, and we'll really be looking to work with a number of you and also with in Canada, and also with many of the other partners like the FCM and others who are here today, to try to roll this information out and engage both elected officials as well as the public as well, and with the goal of creating active, certainly healthier communities. And I would say that even though we have our work cut out for us, and we've seen that on a whole number of fronts today, I would just say that paradigm shifts do happen. And all we have to do is think back to the fight against tobacco. Remember those ads where, you know, 3 out of doctors recommend Camels. So we have made tremendous shifts in terms of the way we think about tobacco control. We can make tremendous shifts in the way we think about the ways in which we design our communities. This is another way in which advertising around food and healthy eating has changed over the last few years. This is a great ad from the Lard Information Council in Canada in the 1940s. And so thank you. So change can happen.